this world.
The 2nd of June, 2023. A high-speed train carrying hundreds of passengers collides with two other trains in India.
A CGI reconstruction of the collision.
The crash kills 295 people and injures more than 800.
I suddenly heard a boom. Thousands of people are crying. And thousands of people are shouting.
It's one of the deadliest rail accidents in history. 1 year on, we investigate what went wrong through forensic analysis of other incidents.
It shook the community and it really changed how we see accidents.
And speaking to those who survived.
I thought I might have died, but did not let go.
What could cause a packed train to end up on the same track as another?
This is one of the most severe accidents of recent time. It's really important that we understand exactly what happened.
The crash raises safety concerns in India and around the world. Just 3 months earlier, another collision kills dozens in Greece. Now experts are developing new technologies to upgrade aging infrastructure and prevent future accidents.
When you get on a train, you expect to get off at your destination safely at the end of the journey.
Why did three trains collide in India? And what measures can prevent it from happening again?
Why trains crash? From above a bustling city beneath a hazy sky.
For over 150 years, railways have been at the heart of India's transport system. In a huge country, home to nearly 1.5 billion people, trains are an essential way to travel and a source of national pride.
Railways have always played a big role for Indian society. The spirit of India is to travel, is to move, and you can see the country change when you travel on the railways. They're one of the largest railway networks on the planet.
More than 75,000 miles of tracks connect India's cities, making the railways a major engine of the economy.
Indian Railways carries the population of a small country every day on its tracks. For India to grow at the rate that it's growing, having a healthy railway is vital.
The line running along India's east coast is one of the oldest and busiest. One of the fastest trains on the route is the Coromandel Express.
I hail from this city called Bangalore in the south of India. Every summer, we would do a summer vacation trip to my grandparents in Kolkata from Bangalore. And the train we took was the Coromandel Express.
A train zooms past buildings.
On the 2nd of June, 2023, at around 3:20 p.m., the Coromandel Express leaves Shalimar Station in Greater Kolkata, heading south along the coast. It's scheduled to arrive at Chennai Central Station roughly 25 hours later. The train's route will take it through the state of Odisha.
The train passes rows of palm trees.
Large and rural, it's home to many workers who rely on the railway to find work elsewhere.
The Coromandel Express carries a lot of people from economically weaker areas to economically more dynamic areas. A lot of people use these railways to travel in search of a better life.
A man shovels dirt.
Deepak Patra lives in Odisha. He and his father leave home to catch a train south to work in construction.
Deepak's on a building site. We were going by bus and got delayed by 10 minutes. Then Dad said, no matter if we miss the train, we will get the Coromandel.
Boss, amara train gote jau. Ame Coromandel polaiba.
They do miss their train and board the Coromandel Express instead. That day, Its 23 carriages are crowded with at least 1,000 passengers.
Our train was too crowded. There was no space for us to get in, so we moved to the carriage for the disabled.
Where's the gate?
Also on board, Prosenjit, Tapoosh and Gopal. They too are heading to work. The three friends take a selfie. It's Gopal's first ever train journey.
Me and Gopal were sitting together. We were laughing as we went. Animation. The train zooms ahead.
It's just gone 6:50 p.m. The Coromandel Express is traveling across Odisha and about to pass through the tiny station at Bahanagar Bazaar.
The train speeds past. The journey was going smoothly. It was hot. I was on my phone listening to music, enjoying the journey.
Up ahead, a goods train has been diverted into a siding, making way for the Coromandel Express on the main line. Approaching in the opposite direction on the adjacent line is another passenger train, the Bengaluru Howrah Superfast Express.
The train zooms ahead.
While the goods train waits in the siding, the high-speed trains rapidly approach each other.
I was looking out of the window, holding on to the rail. The train was going at high speed.
No one on board the Coromandel has any idea what is about to happen.
All of a sudden, the train starts to shake. The lights went out.
The Coromandel Express suddenly veers into the siding and smashes into the back of the stationary goods train.
People started to scream. Children and adults were shouting. It was very loud. I hung on tight to the window rails as I rocked. I thought I might have died, but didn't let go. Then I fell unconscious.
The danger is far from over. As the Superfast Express passes the collision, it's hit by the Coromandel's carriages, which fly across the track.
The collision, reconstruction. Our carriage rolled two or three times. Doors and windows started shattering. I was hanging on to the rails. It all turned upside down. There was complete darkness. I couldn't see anything. A photo of the wreckage.
Hundreds of fellow passengers now try to escape from the mangled carriages. The impact alerts people in the nearby village, including former army officer Deepak Behra.
I suddenly heard some kind of a boom, along with that a screeching sound. So we started running to the train accident site. The situation was beyond, imagination. I cannot even explain.
Deepak finds the Coromandel's front carriages derailed and strewn across the tracks. These coaches are among the cheapest and most crowded.
People gather round the upturned carriage.
This footage, filmed shortly after the collision, shows local people climbing the carriages.
A man clambers onto the carriage.
Thousands of people are crying. And thousands of people are shouting. I had served in Indian Army 17 years, but this kind of scenario I have never seen in my life. I entered into the bogie. As such, it was crashed. It was very low space. The electric high voltage light was broken and it was sparked. The smokes were coming out.
In his carriage, Deepak Patra is trapped under his fellow passengers.
I found a gap and pulled myself over the dead bodies. A lot of dead bodies on top of the carriage. Someone lost a hand, a leg. Half of the face missing. A lot of people had head injuries.
Deepak manages to escape. But among hundreds of injured people, his father is nowhere to be seen.
I gathered courage and started looking for my father.
The head-on collision has catapulted the engine of the Coromandel Express onto the top of the freight train. Deepak Behra and others check for survivors there.
We got the ladder from a nearby house and we put that to climb to the engine, which was over another bogie of the goods train.
Incredibly, the driver and assistant have survived.
Men in hard hats at the wreckage.
The carriages behind the engine have carried the full force of the impact.
Our carriage was split in two. My leg was jammed, my head was bleeding. Those who were sitting in the next row were all killed. When I came out on the street, two men ran towards me and gave me water.
Tapos finds his friend Prosenjit in the darkness, but Gopal is not with him.
Once I found them, I said, "Where did the other one go?" "I'm calling Gopal. Gopal, where are you?"
Gopal is trapped by one of the train's wheels. It's too heavy to move. With little specialist equipment, freeing people from the mangled train is a huge challenge.
Few people were trapped in such a way that half of the body is inside the bogie, half of outside the bogie, so we cannot help it because we don't have mega tools for that.
The remote location makes it difficult to quickly deploy enough rescuers to the scene. It will take some emergency teams more than an hour to reach Bahanagar Bazaar. Saubhagya Sarangi runs a pharmacy near the railway line. He does what he can to help the injured until more doctors and paramedics arrive.
What I saw, I wouldn't want to see it in my life ever again. I saw 100, 200 people running from the accident site. Some of them were in a scary condition. I was alone at the shop. I was scared. People were dying right in front of us and we were watching.
For the first couple of hours, Saubhagya tends to the injured until he runs out of medicine.
So I called my supplier and asked him to come urgently. But he couldn't make it. The roads were blocked. So I sent a friend of mine.
Once fire and rescue teams arrive on site, they begin to treat the wounded. Among them is Deepak Patra, who is still searching for his father. A policeman notices Deepak's injuries and puts him in an ambulance.
I just gave my dad's photo to him and then I went to the hospital crying. Carriages are strewn across the tracks. Saturday, 3rd of June, 2023.
Sunrise reveals the true scale of the disaster. More than a dozen carriages lie across the tracks. A trail of wreckage stretching for more than 1,000 feet. Hundreds are dead. In India and around the world, people ask, why did three trains collide?
I felt angry. When you have a disaster happening on this particular express train, you're losing lives, you're losing futures that could have positively impacted change in India.
An investigation begins almost immediately. Piecing together exactly what led to this devastating crash will be a challenge.
High-speed derailments are very rare, but when they do happen, whether that's through the fault of infrastructure or the rolling stock themselves, they can be very, very severe.
The maximum speed permitted in this section of track is 80 miles per hour. Was the train simply going too fast? In June 1998, speed played a key role in Germany's worst rail disaster since the Second World War. At Eschede in Lower Saxony, a high-speed train derailed, killing 101 people and injuring more than 100.
I remember this day very vividly because I was on the way home on the same type of train. Everyone was shocked because we just couldn't imagine something like this happening on this scale, on this magnitude.
The accident happened when a carriage of a high-speed train to Hamburg suddenly jumped off the tracks. It hit a bridge pillar at over 120 miles an hour, causing the bridge to collapse and 8 train carriages to crash into one another.
The wreckage from above.
The investigation focused on the train's wheels, a cutting-edge design introduced only a few years earlier.
The use of this type of wheel for high-speed trains was very new and very innovative, but there were no special testing done, especially for high speed.
One of the new wheels caused the crash. Its outer rim broke loose, eventually causing an axle to lift off the tracks. The derailed wheels then shifted a set of points away from the main line, catapulting the carriages behind off the rails.
There were several things coming together, making it as bad an accident as it was in the end. No one could ever have imagined something this happening on this scale. You can imagine a wheel breaking, you can imagine a train derailing, you can imagine a piece of a train hitting a bridge. But all of this coming together at the same time, on the same day, it's a very rare accident. It shook the community and it really changed how we see accidents and how we see the railway system.
After the Eschede accident, the type of wheels involved were scrapped. The railways also tightened safety in many areas.
Everything was done to prevent an accident like this happening again, like changing out the wheels, changing the regulations, how to design infrastructure. An accident like Eschede could not happen again because we changed the system around it.
In Eschede, mechanical failure caused the derailment.
Birds fly over a town nestled amongst tropical trees.
But in India, investigators have found no evidence of faults with the train. Their analysis shows that the Coromandel did not derail until after the collision. So how did it hit a stationary goods train? Bhagwat Prasad Rathore lives close to the line. He was with a friend at their usual spot by a level crossing. They saw the accident right in front of them.
Throngs of people ride motorbikes along a busy crossing. We were sitting here from 5:30 p.m. for a chit-chat. The goods train, fully loaded, it was on this line, went into the siding and stayed there.
That night, the freight train waits in a siding to allow the Coromandel Express to pass through on the main line at full speed. But instead, the passenger train hurtles into the very same siding. Why?
A reconstruction of the collision.
Railway signalling keeps trains apart so they don't crash into one another. When there's a direct collision, it's very often a railway signalling problem.
In Britain, a signalling problem was to blame for a tragic collision in October 1999.
It was a normal day in the office for me. I got in at 8 o'clock, made myself a cup of tea.
Steve Walker was a railway inspector at the time with the UK's Health and Safety Executive.
When we looked out of our office, we could see a pall of smoke on the west of London, so we realised something was wrong.
A commuter train heading out of Paddington Station passed a red signal without stopping, steering it onto the same track as a high-speed train travelling at 80 miles per hour.
A graphic of the collision.
The collision killed 31 people and injured more than 400 others.
I was faced with a scene of chaos and destruction. The high-speed train had jackknifed, so that was spread both on and off the track. The diesel fuel tanks broke, which led to a fireball which engulfed the front of the train. There was smoke everywhere, and you could see that coach H from the high-speed train had been completely burnt out. It was an order of magnitude above anything I'd dealt with before in my career.
It was one of the deadliest railway collisions in British history. Steve led the investigation, and for the next 9 days, he and his team worked around the clock to find out what had gone wrong.
When you get on a train, you expect to get off at your destination safely at the end of the journey. People wanted to know very quickly what we as investigators knew about the accident.
Steve discovered that a key signal was partially obscured by overhead line equipment. And the glare of the low morning sun dulled the red light, giving the driver the impression he could proceed.
The route to and from Paddington Station is very, very busy and very complicated. The ability of the drivers to actually see the signals was a real challenge.
Following the accident, the layout of signals around Paddington was simplified and driver training was improved across the railway.
We wanted to make sure that action was taken immediately to prevent those accidents happening in the future. Since then, the UK rail system has changed considerably. There are now much more automatic systems which will come into play should a driver try to go through a red signal. That has provided significant increase in the safety of people using the UK rail network.
For Steve, there can only be two reasons for an accident like the one in Odisha.
Where two trains occupy the same section of track, it's inevitable that there is problems with the signalling system. Either the signalling is faulty or else the driver has gone through a red light.
One of the biggest questions facing the investigators in India: why did the Coromandel Express suddenly veer off the main line into the siding? Officials must find out if the driver passed a red light.
People gather around the wreckage.
By early morning, the injured are taken to nearby hospitals.
A woman pumps water.
Parvati Hemaram is trying to find out if her son is among them. Gopal had been travelling with his friends on the Coromandel Express.
My husband says that the train our son is on has had an accident. I was crying a lot. Then some people from our village came who had heard the news on TV. After hearing that on the news, they said 4 boys from our village were on that train.
Desperate to find her son, Parvati rushes around the hospitals close to the crash site. Among dozens of wounded, she eventually comes across all of Gopal's friends. But there's no sign of Gopal.
When I didn't find my son, I was crying so much, thinking what might have happened to him. There were many people. Someone's leg was broken, someone's arm was broken. I had a dream that morning. He was telling me nothing happened to me. Sunday, 4th of June, 2023.
Back at the crash site, giant excavators begin removing the wreckage. The accident has destroyed the line, bringing the railway to a halt.
A digger is by the wreckage.
Investigators speak to the drivers of the Coromandel Express. They say the train had a green light on the main line when it approached this area.
The carriages are strewn across the tracks.
If the Coromandel drivers were simply following the signals, could a signal fault be to blame?
Two trains approach each other. Greece 2023.
Less than 4 months before the crash in India, Greece faced its deadliest ever rail disaster. Investigators there are currently looking into signalling failures.
The railway line was operating at a reduced capacity because of a fault. On the day of the accident, the overhead line in the area had come down. So trains were being diverted away from that track.
In February 2023, a high-speed intercity service from Athens, carrying over 300 passengers, left its assigned track and moved onto the opposite line. Shortly after 11 p.m., as it emerged from a tunnel, it collided with a freight train head-on. The passenger train derailed, its front carriages bursting into flames.
The smoldering wreckage.
Firefighters and medical teams rushed to the scene to rescue people trapped in the wreckage. 57 people died and at least 85 were injured, most of them young students.
Mangled chunks of the train lie scattered.
The investigation claims the station master failed to switch the points to their correct position. He'd been in the job for just over a month. However, broader safety issues have since emerged.
In 2019, there'd been a fire in the signalling system, which actually has resulted in the railway from then on being run in a manual mode.
At the time of the accident, railway staff were using a very basic system of walkie-talkies to make sure the right trains were on the right tracks.
For some reason, that didn't work correctly. So the train that had been diverted continued on that same track and came into direct head-on collision with a train coming in the opposite direction.
23 people have been charged in connection with contracts to restore the automated signalling system. They deny all charges. The accident has also triggered demands for safety improvements. For at least 10 years, Greece has been in the process of upgrading its railway systems, but experts say change has been slow.
Over recent years, Greece has struggled to invest in their railways and to upgrade equipment, to replace systems in a timely manner. The signalling system on the line at Tempe was due to be upgraded and had actually been delayed a number of times.
A train passes near water.
In India, signals were not being controlled manually at the time of the crash. They appeared to be working normally. But there are disturbing parallels with Greece, with two trains ending up on the same track. Why did the Coromandel Express receive a green light just before the crash?
8th of June, 2023.
6 days after the accident, investigators visit the station close to the crash site. They discover that a repair team had upgraded barriers at the nearby level crossing on the day of the collision.
A team of engineers were working on improving the level crossing machine from an older system to a newer system. The last bit of work that was left for them to do was to wire everything up in the relay room.
Investigators inspect the room which houses the wiring system. What they find is disturbing. The maintenance team had installed the level crossing around 2 hours before the crash. Its wiring plugs into the relay room at Bahanagar Bazar station, which also connects to the points at the crash site.
A graphic of the crash site.
The investigation claims that the technicians installed the level crossing incorrectly. At around 6:30 p.m., when the goods train passes through, the points are set to guide it into the siding. The control center then sent a signal to switch the points back to the main line. The main line signal turned green to allow the Coromandel Express to pass. But the points had not moved, catapulting the Coromandel Express into the siding at more than 80 miles per hour.
A graphic of the collision. The sun shines over the crash site. Debris across the tracks.
2 days after the crash, Deepak Patra returns home to his village. He is without his father.
The atmosphere was very sad. Why are they looking at me so much? I heard someone say that my father was no more. I was very sad.
Deepak's father died shortly after the crash. His son had no idea until he returned home. Indian authorities arranged special trains to help families with missing relatives to reach Odisha's main cities. They set up emergency offices, where Gopal's mother Parvati looks at photographs of unidentified passengers.
I saw all the pictures. I could not recognize my son in any of the pictures. Then they said, take the DNA test.
More than 4 weeks pass before anyone gets in touch.
They phoned me after 1 month and 10 days. I did not find a living son. I found a dead boy. I didn't see his face. They didn't let me see. I couldn't stop thinking about my boy. Was his destiny to die like this? Is this what was destined for him?
Official sources say at least 295 people died and 807 were injured. It's India's deadliest train accident in nearly 3 decades. An official report has still not been published, but a document which claims to be a leaked copy of the report, produced 4 weeks after the disaster, reveals wider concerns. It states that the problems started with an unorthodox repair carried out 5 years earlier at the same junction.
In the year 2018, a group of track workers and engineers came along to maintain the point machine in that area. And once they had fixed the point machine, they went into the relay room.
The crew rewired the circuit for one of the track points to an alternative set of terminals. They left no proper record of this change. The team in 2023 wired up a level crossing barrier to this terminal, not realizing this would interfere with the points.
A graphic of the level crossing circuit.
They had no idea that they were actually miswiring the circuits in a way that it shouldn't never have been wired, which directly leads to the crash that happened of the Coromandel Express with the goods train that was standing on that day.
The alleged report suggests the second team should never have carried out such a complicated rewiring job on their own and should have alerted their superiors. The alleged report's claims, if correct, paint a disturbing picture. Could the Odisha crash hint at wider problems surrounding railway safety and maintenance?
What we've learned from accidents in the UK and around the world is that accidents such as that in Odisha generally don't happen because of one particular thing. They don't happen because of a particular technology failure, or they don't happen just because of a particular human error.
It's emerged that a signal fault may also be to blame for a near miss in another part of the country 4 months before the Odisha accident. Hosa Durga Road is a station with a similar layout and signalling to Bahanagar Bazaar.
An express train was travelling north across Hosa Durga station. On that day, there was faulty equipment on that line, and the station master decided to slow the train down and move the train onto a slower line.
As the train moved from the siding with a green light to use the main line, the driver noticed the points were set wrong and risked sending him onto the opposite line. Fortunately, he managed to reverse, just as a freight train was heading straight towards him.
The locomotive driver, noticing this, saved the day for a lot of people.
A document, which claims to be an internal letter written to senior railway management, alleges that maintenance work on the signalling cables at Hosa Durga lay behind this incident. It reports that safety guidelines were ignored. Only the driver's quick thinking and the train's slow speed prevented an accident.
London, 1988.
Poor maintenance work lay behind one of the UK's deadliest rail accidents in recent times. 11 years before the Paddington disaster, on the 12th of December 1988, a deadly train collision took place at one of London's busiest stations, Clapham Junction.
A train coming from Basingstoke was approaching Waterloo Station and was in the Clapham area, where it noticed a signal in front of it going from green to red straight away. That shouldn't have happened.
The driver stopped at the next signal to report the fault. But a packed commuter train running on the same track passed the faulty signal, and before the driver could react, it crashed into the back of the first train. Several carriages derailed and hit a third train travelling in the opposite direction. The collision killed 35 people and injured nearly 500 others. Investigators traced the signal fault to the poor installation of new wiring.
A derailed carriage.
The cause of the accident was due to the technicians leaving wires in the signalling case that over time caused a short circuit.
The investigation identified the technician responsible. In the preceding 13 weeks, he'd only had one day off.
It's almost inevitable that there would have been fatigue coming in and there was inadequate supervision for his work, inadequate testing for his work, because the resources were just not there.
The report into the accident heavily criticised attitudes towards safety within British Rail, which ran Britain's railways at the time.
Clapham is an example that you must look beyond just the immediate cause. You don't just look at exactly what the technician did, but the environment that he was working in.
The accident was a turning point. It led to significant improvements in safety across Britain's whole railway network.
As a result of the accident, we changed a lot of procedures. We created a standard signalling testing handbook, which mandated how signalling should be tested after people had been working on it. We also thought about how work was checked and inspected.
The incident has similarities with the collision in India 35 years later.
In both cases, maintenance work had gone on site, and that maintenance work had caused the railway to be left in an unsafe state.
The Indian government says it has now implemented new safety measures. No maintenance should take place without notifying the station master. And all engineering work must also be recorded following strict procedures. But the sheer scale of India's network means that the country faces a huge challenge.
A map of India.
India's railways are vast, over 75,000 miles of track, and more than 10,000 trains provide a lifeline to 19 million passengers.
A train passes by buildings.
Indian Railways is one of the busiest and one of the largest railways in the world. It has a long history and there's lots of aging infrastructure. And particularly in the area of railway signalling, the systems haven't been upgraded perhaps like they have in other countries. So this means there's still an awful lot of old, somewhat outdated infrastructure still operating on the network.
A train passes over tracks.
In India, collisions on the scale of Odisha are rare. Over the last 20 years, the number of derailments has drastically decreased by around 90%, down from nearly 280 per year to 26. But a pressing concern, posing significant safety implications, is overcrowding.
Because of the big population that we have in India, the trains are mostly full. Today, due to India's economic growth, a lot more people are traveling in much more cramped conditions than it was in the 90s and the 2000s. The railways is at capacity and overcapacity in terms of the people that it can carry.
People hang out of a moving train.
Nearly all the passengers who died in the crash had been travelling in the first three coaches of the Coromandel Express, the cheapest carriages generally used by India's poorest migrant workers.
The carriages are carrying more people than they were designed for. Overcrowding means that a lot more people are likely to get injured in the case of an accident. That's why the casualty numbers are high.
A train passes fields with mountains in the distance.
In the next 5 years, India plans to introduce 3,000 new trains to cope with demand and reduce overcrowding. But that means huge upgrades, including better signalling.
Red flashing signal lights.
The signalling upgrades programme has been ongoing and on a continuous basis for a number of years. In many countries in the world, and India is one of those countries, there's been a start-stop investment to this sort of thinking. So that has delayed some progression in technology that perhaps in other places in the world we can see already.
Official data shows that India has been making record investments in its railway network, with a plan to install automatic signalling along nearly 10,000 miles of track. But experts say they're still a long way ahead.
The challenge the railways has is that it has to upgrade 75,000 plus kilometers of signaling on those railways as fast as it can. Even the fastest signaling upgrade will be 10 years away.
There's a commitment from the Indian government and Indian Railways to upgrade their signalling systems and provide levels of safety protection. But that's been quite slow in coming online, and this sort of technology is expensive, it's difficult to install.
Post the disaster in Odisha, India can't afford to delay upgrading the signalling system any longer. In the next 10 years, Indian Railways has to massively change the way that it operates as an organisation. If there's an error, then that error can be fixed quite quickly as long as they communicate this error. But I am positive that the change is coming because they're moving in a positive direction.
People walk around the mangled carriages beneath a hazy sky.
Many hope that Odisha will turn out to be a watershed moment for the safety of the Indian railway system, in the same way that Clapham led to far-reaching changes in the UK. So how safe are railways here?
Railway systems in countries like the UK are very safe. Accidents such as those in Odisha don't happen in the UK. We have systems to protect against that. In other parts of the world, there is still a risk of this, but it's still incredibly rare for accidents of this scale to happen.
The UK might now have a very different safety regime to the one in India, But the two countries' networks share many similarities. Like India, Britain has railway infrastructure that dates back to Victorian times.
There's about 30,000 route kilometres on the UK railways. Most of our railway infrastructure is probably at least 100, and some of it getting on for 200 years old. So for something to last that long, it needs to have good maintenance. And that means that you replace and renew bits of it, hopefully before they fail.
Aging infrastructure requires regular monitoring and repair.
The challenge is cost, because anything physical, like a physical instrument, a physical fence, a physical tripwire or whatever, is expensive to install.
Sometimes replacement is the most cost-effective option.
As railway infrastructure gets older, we generally have to maintain it more often, and that becomes expensive. It can also become disruptive to passengers who want to use the railway. We need to therefore make a decision about whether we want to keep maintaining at that rate and causing potential disruption, or whether we want to upgrade the system to a new modern technology.
The doors close on a Great Northern train.
One new technology which is designed to enhance safety and future-proof railway networks is digital signalling.
The train leaves.
Traditional traffic light signals are replaced with virtual ones that track the movement of trains at all times. Jelena Talbot is one of the first drivers to test the system on the Northern City Line in London.
As a driver, we heavily used to rely on visual aids like signals. If I approach a red signal that can't be seen or obstructed for some reason, I will have to slow down, which is impact on the train times and for the passengers.
Driver, you have reset the DRA.
On this new fleet of trains, in-cab displays give the driver a 20-mile view ahead in real time.
Drivers already see the benefits of digital systems. It doesn't matter if it's raining, it doesn't matter if it's foggy and we can't see ahead, we were able to see it from the cab. That's a massive advantage to the driver.
This system allows trains to run closer together at their optimum speed while maintaining safe braking distances.
I definitely feel safer in operating that system. It gives me another safety blanket. It's absolutely transformed our driving skills, enhanced our safety, and gave us a little bit of reassurance as a driver as well.
The train communicates directly with the Rail Operating Centre in York, equipped with state-of-the-art digital technology.
Foxtrot Papa, 132.
From this room, a team of signallers monitor and control all train lines and stations across the Northern City Line, more than 200 miles away. Engineers chose the Northern City Line as a testbed because of its age and location. It was built 100 years ago and extends into the East Coast Main Line.
We were looking for a commuter railway that was busy and short, that had aged equipment that required renewal, and the Northern City Line provided the ideal railway, and that has created the foundation for us to be able to start deploying digital signalling on the East Coast Main Line, and we are working to start operating with digital signalling in 2025.
Today, there are more than 40,000 signals on the Main Line network, vital for maintaining safe distances between trains. It's expected that around two-thirds of track equipment, including signals, will need replacing within 15 years. According to the Office of Rail and Road, a UK safety regulator, government funding is unlikely to be able to rise to meet the costs of renewing existing signalling equipment. It says there may be a significant delivery challenge. Network Rail, the body responsible for Britain's railway infrastructure, says their replacement strategy is a more affordable option.
The railway spends billions every control period renewing its equipment and signalling infrastructure. By delivering digital signalling, we're able to do that at a lower cost and to deliver a more reliable railway at the same time.
Monitoring aging infrastructure has become more crucial than ever. More than half of Britain's lines, over 9,000 miles, sit on top of embankments or through cuttings. Much designed and built by Victorian engineers who could not have foreseen the problems faced by the railway today.
We now run trains that are much faster, often much heavier and much more frequent. And on top of all of that, we have got the climate which is changing and the environmental loads from weather and climate that our earth structures in particular have to withstand is changing and will continue to change with climate change into the future.
Recent years have seen unprecedented rainfall, storms and heat waves across Europe that put extra strain on the aging embankments and cuttings.
They tend to absorb moisture during the winter, so they tend to swell. They tend to dry out during the summer, so they shrink. So you get these cycles of shrinkage and swelling, which over the years can weaken the embankment. So there are actually two sort of quite distinct types of failure. One of them is sometimes known as a washout or a debris flow, and that's where water has really disturbed the relatively loose material. The other one is a more traditional slip, which takes place usually within a clay embankment or possibly a clay cut slope.
Intense rainfall can overwhelm drainage systems with devastating consequences.
Scotland 2020.
On the 12th of August 2020, a passenger train heading to Aberdeen hit debris on the line near Carmont and derailed.
Emergency workers in front of the wreckage.
Of nine people aboard, three were killed and six were injured. It's the worst accident on Britain's railways in nearly 20 years.
What happened there was that material washed out of a drainage channel which had been constructed on the side of the cutting slope. The drain itself failed, so the material forming the drain was washed onto the track, which caused the derailment of the train, which then crashed into a bridge parapet. Our drainage systems are just not designed to cope with that amount of water falling from the sky in such a short space of time.
The investigation blamed poor construction of the drainage and failure to inspect it. Network Rail was fined £6.7 million after admitting a series of failings. At the University of Southampton, Professor William Powery is trying to predict and prevent catastrophic derailments like the one at Carmont.
In this laboratory, we look at the behaviour of soil as a material, and we have a thing called a geotechnical centrifuge where we can make a scale model of a cutting or an embankment or a foundation. Spin it round at 100 times normal gravity, we can observe pretty much a year's behaviour in about an hour of running time. The other great thing about the centrifuge is that we can subject it to different climate conditions. We could make it hotter and drier and warmer and wetter, and we could see what the effect of that would be on the long-term movements and ultimately stability of an embankment or a cutting slope over a period of 30, 40 years. Then we can use that understanding to reinforce or possibly replace some of our infrastructure to make it proof against climate change in the future so that it won't catastrophically fail in the way which we saw tragically at Carmont and elsewhere.
Today, new technologies can help identify possible failures before they happen. Drones and satellites can detect issues on the ground, while artificial intelligence has the potential to interpret data.
We can start to get sufficiently frequent images from the satellites that we can monitor almost in real time to pick up any indication that something is starting to be amiss. What people are able to do is to look at the patterns that they get from the imaging and then interpret those into what's actually going on the ground.
Train tracks from above.
Experts fear that railways around the world will need to adapt to challenges posed by a changing climate. With its aging network, India is likely to be at the forefront of this fight.
A leafy city from above.
1 year on from the disaster in Odisha, India is still coming to terms with the tragedy. Three railway officials, two engineers and a technician, have been charged with culpable homicide and destruction of evidence. The memory of this tragic event is still vivid.
The sun shines in a burnt orange sky. When I think about the accident, the images of that terrible night come back to mind. It all comes back.
The feeling of losing all those people, those are a lifelong memory which I'll never forget. I would pray to God that this should never happen in any part of this world.
Like many, Gopal's mother still struggles to accept what happened.
He took a picture at the station. I printed out that picture and placed it in a frame. I think my son is still alive. That's what I think. My son is still alive. A train passes by patchwork quilt fields.
The accident has put a spotlight on railway safety in India and around the world.
Across the globe, billions of people take trains, and it shouldn't be a risk. The Odisha disaster in 2023 has basically shown Indian Railways that the path ahead is to improve its safety. Indian Railways cannot afford another disaster.
For nearly 200 years, trains have been one of the safest modes of transportation. Billions of us rely on them, putting our trust in railway systems and in those who work hard to enable our journeys every day. The future safety of the world's railways depends on learning lessons from tragic accidents, just like the one that happened in Odisha.
The only way you can make things safer is by knowing more about what went wrong. The global railway community doesn't take safety for granted. We have to always place safety first, ahead of anything.